At this time,
Brother Brian Bussey is going to come. And this is one of Pastor's dear friends. And because he's a dear friend of our pastor, he's also a dear friend to us. Many of us have already met him. He's been by to visit. And I'm looking forward to what God has in his word for us tonight through Brother Brian. Brother Brian, give us an update. Awesome. Tell us where you're at.
Absolutely.
It's good to have you tonight. Thank you for being here.
Good to be here. And it was good. I appreciate everything you've done for me already. I was at Cracker Barrel earlier today, and I'm sitting by a table, and all of a sudden he leans over. I hope this isn't awkward. He has a picture of me and my wife on his phone. So, and he's like, well, I'm Brother Brown, and you're going to be preaching at our church tonight. I said, well, okay, that was awkward, but we'll get through that, okay? And I'm thinking, like, I got to make sure I eat my biscuit nice or something now. But I'm so glad to hear. I love your pastor. Other than my wife, he is the closest friend I have, best friend in life. He's a good one. He's a good man. I've never met a man more patient than him. And I've done my best to try that patience through the years, but he's never got riled up on me. We've had some good times together. But I'm glad to be here. Take your Bibles, Acts 1. Brother Dan wanted me to give you a little update. On Sunday, this last Sunday, it was my last Sunday at Bible Baptist Church in Jefferson City, Missouri. And you say, well, where are you going? I'm not for sure. The Lord's journeys sure are interesting, and we know the Lord is wanting me to pastor again. And I had candidated church in Kansas, and that didn't work out. That just wasn't the Lord's will. Great people there, but it wasn't the Lord's will. But in the midst of that, it was an accident to me, but it was on purpose to God. He sold my house without hitting the market, so I tell everybody, well, how's it going? We're homeless and jobless and loving it, that's actually true. That's not a joke. We bought a little trailer. We put some stuff in it. Where are you going? Anywhere that has a house, I guess, and visit family. Oh, so good to see you. Where's the bedroom? No, we'll get to visit some family. I'll be preaching at church in Florida, candidating there. You pray for me, thankful for our time there. Thankful for the preacher. But the Lord has definitely moved us on. Glad to be here tonight. Who's glad to be here? Amen. Who'd rather be here than in prison? Amen. Who'd rather be here than your favorite steakhouse? Wow, listen to that. Man, I've said that several times. Everybody's glad to be here instead of prison. But when I said steakhouse, every one of you thought, you had a steakhouse in your mind. I'm thinking, well, that does sound pretty good right now. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. Thankful for it. Isn't the Lord good? The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Acts 1, and we'll read just a few verses here, but you'll keep your Bible open, I'm sure, and if you do that, and we'll read several scriptures tonight, and maybe have a little Bible study, look at Peter. Look at Peter, and this is the question I want you to be thinking about. How did he get there? How did Peter get to where he was at in the book of Acts? God surely did use Peter, did he not? Sure did use Peter. You have to ask yourself, how did he get there? And in Acts 1 and verse number 15 says this, and in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. So here we have Peter. He's standing up in the midst of that small church up in an upper room. Turn with me to Acts 2 verse number 14. He's standing up again. Acts 2, verse number 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. I don't exactly know what that day of Pentecost was like, but I'd sure like to see a little snippet of it and see what it was like and see how people responded and see how he preached. But here Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples there, about 120, and now there's a multitude about ready to be saved in Acts chapter number 2. And so if we could look just for a little while, I want you to ask your question, how did he get there? How'd Peter get to where he got? How did Peter get there? Heavenly Father, we sure do need you tonight. And Lord, I ask that you'd be honored that your Spirit might move, you'd help us tonight from your word. I thank you for the opportunity to preach. I do not take it lightly. I thank you for Pastor Hurd, what it means to me. I thank you for using him. Thank you that he's a willing vessel to be used for you. Thank you for this great church. Lord, I ask that we'd be attentive, we'd be surrendered, our heart would be open to what you have. In your son's name, amen. It's worth mentioning before we look to Peter, is it says in Acts 1, verse number 4, it says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not, Jesus speaking, that should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John surely baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. It is worth mentioning that the early church didn't immediately become active, but they immediately became obedient. It's a good point to note, because if there was no Acts chapter 1, there would not have been Acts chapter number 2. And because the church did, in just a bit, they did become greatly active, but it was not that they were doing it. It was that the Holy Spirit through them were doing it. The disciples delayed before they went and preached to the multitude. Have you ever got yourself in trouble because you got ahead of yourself? Oh, man. And sometimes churches can get ahead of themselves because God is not ready to do something. They waited. They were immediately obedient. And that is what is God asking of us tonight, is that we'd be immediately obedient. The church there, 120, they were huddled up there together and they were waiting. They were obedient to what Jesus Christ said. They were waiting. They were waiting for that power. They were waiting. They prayed for that power. And man, did God not do a great work there. Pentecost, 3,000 people were saved. That could not have been done through the flesh. That could have not been done through some orator. That was done because God did a great work there. Once they did receive the power, they became active. They were active and powerful. They were active and purposeful. They were active and praising. They were active and they were persecuted. And listen, we are descendants of that church, and wouldn't it be great if God would again start to do that again? Not that just a church would be active. We have a lot of activity in a lot of churches, but there's not always activity with power, activity with progress, activity with purpose. And during this, there's one that came to the lead. Peter, we read about him in verse number 15 of Acts 1. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. We find again in Acts 2 and verse number 14, and Peter standing up with the 11. So Peter became an early leader of the church. He began to preach. Now we know that all the apostles were preaching there, but it's noted that Peter was the one that was the center of it. He was the one who was beginning of it. He was the one that said, they asked him the question there later, what shall we do? And Peter gave him the answer. And Peter became full of power. Turn to your right in Acts chapter number 3. Acts 3. And verse number 4. We can go to verse number 3 as well. And who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So Peter also became the leader of the early church, but Peter became full of power. He did great miracles. It says in Acts 5 and verse number 15, if you want to turn to your right just a little bit more, he says in Acts 5 verse 15, in so much that, speaking of Peter, that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. I mean, Peter did some great miracles, and we find in Acts chapter number 10 that he was completely used of God, for he went to the house of Cornelius when God gave him this direction and said, God, I've never eaten anything unclean. He said, I want you to go. And he went, and he became the first person to give the gospel to the Gentiles. Peter became what Christ fully wanted. We know by history that the prophecy of Jesus Christ about how Peter would die did come true. He became a martyr for Christ. But have you ever asked yourself the question, how did Peter get there? Well, he walked up there. No, I realize that, but not just walking, not just physically, but how did Peter spiritually get there? Well, let's look. Let's look what the Bible has to say. How did Peter get there? It wasn't by accident. He had help on the way. We are not an island. We need help on the way, do we not? You need to help, and you need to help someone, and someone else has helped you. But how did Peter get there? We find, turn with me, please, in John 21. John 21, just to your left, just a little bit. John chapter 21. How did Peter get there? Now, I was told this mic turns off in 3 minutes, 7:45. So if that's true, I'm going to be screaming in just a minute, okay? Okay? I'm going to be screaming in just a minute because we're not quite done, all right? So I heard 3, I heard 7:30. Okay, that didn't happen. I heard 7:40. That didn't happen, so maybe it is 7:45, but if it is, I'll start screaming, all right? How did Peter get there? I mean, don't we want to see more Peters in the church? Do we not want to see more Simons that are standing up and giving the gospel and preaching and becoming fully used of God? So how did he get there? John 21 and verse number 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. Well, sometimes I say amen to that. Any other fishers around here? Oh, yes. And they said unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered in the ship, and that night they caught nothing. I've also been there. Has any other fishermen been there? Yeah. Well, this is what you say when you catch them. Oh, well, we just went to go catch a good time. Yeah, I said every liar fisherman, all right? You went out to catch fish. That's what you did. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, and the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Go with me down to verse number 7. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coats on unto him, for he was naked. Now I've never fished naked, and I wouldn't suggest doing that, okay? I'm just gonna go past that, okay? And he cast himself into the sea. So Peter had went backward. He was discouraged. He said, I'm going fishing. He caught nothing. Welcome to fishing. Insomuch, he was so backslidden, he couldn't even face Christ on his own.
Well, he wasn't dressed right. I mean, obviously, he was naked, right?
Verse 15. So when they had dying, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. We've got to hurry. How did Peter get there? When he failed, he was helped back up. When he failed, he was helped back up. And Jesus Christ could have scolded him, and Jesus Christ could have said he was no down, not good for anything. He said, hey, listen, you're not going to end up anything. Instead, he said, hey, Simon, do you love me? Do you love me? We find that Jesus Christ in Luke 22, he prayed for him. So when Peter failed, what happened? He was encouraged. He was encouraged to get back up. Christians are notorious for kicking the down. That's the truth, isn't it? Oh, did you hear what so-and-so did? Yeah, let's give it to him. I don't think we do it intentionally, but we do it with our words. We do it with our actions. I don't think any Christian, loving Christian, would ever want to hurt someone when they're down. But there was a host of disciples and Jesus Christ himself that could have pushed Peter down even farther. But instead, he's tried to lift him back up when he failed. What if that scene would have went different? Hey, Peter, you're a loser and you can't even catch fish. And he went on his way. You tell me Peter would have ended up as a leader in the early church? You tell me Peter would have ended up preaching to Cornelius the grace of God so that house might be saved? You tell me Peter would have did the great miracles that he did? No. How did Peter get there? When he failed, he was helped back up. Turn with me, please, to your left. John 13. John 13. When he failed, he was helped back up. Have you ever failed and someone helped you back up? Instead of pushed you back down. Words like this, hey, it's okay. Let me pray with you. Hey, I'm sorry that you failed. Hey, let's go grab a cup of coffee. hey, you've set your Bible down. I've noticed that. You've missed church a little bit. Hey, why don't you come with me this week and we'll go get a bite to eat after church on Sunday morning? Have you ever done that before? I've needed help when I fail. Peter, how'd you get there? Well, when I failed, someone helped me back up. In John 13 and verse number 6, it says this, then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. I mean, Peter had, he spoke before he thought sometimes. I think I can relate to Peter that way. Like, oh, I should not have said that. I'm sorry, my mind processed it after it came out. How did Peter get there when he failed? He was held back up. How did Peter get there when he was allowed to grow as he was being discipled? Jesus Christ, he could have cast him out there and said, what are you doing? You should have already known this. No, he was allowed to grow at his own pace. I'm afraid many times we, as seasoned Christians, we see someone who's just got saved or just getting back in the Word. We expect them to be in the journey that we're at, when really they need to walk their own journey and continue to step forward for the grace of God. We need to allow people to grow as they're being discipled. He was taught as he was being corrected. Sometimes we expect too much out of young Christians and how they live, and how they live holily, and how they live righteously, and how they do activity and in our attire. We need to allow them to grow as they are still continually being discipled. Jesus Christ said, hey, Peter, you don't know what you're talking about, because if I don't wash you, you're not washed. Okay, no, I only need to wash your feet. Okay, then just do that. He allowed him to grow as he was being discipled, lastly. And I would say this is the most important. Turn with me, please, left John chapter number 1. How did Peter get there? That's what we're trying to answer. How did Simon Peter get to where he's at? And I'd say this, how did you get where you're at? Because I'm going to guess for the majority of the crowd is the same way that Peter got there. John 1 and verse number 38. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. What did Andrew do? He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. This is what Andrew did, and he brought him to Jesus. How did Peter get to where he was going? How did Peter get to where he was at in the book of Acts? Well, sure, he was helped when he failed. He was helped back up. He was allowed to grow. But how ultimately did Peter end up where he was at? Because his brother brought him to Christ. Andrew went and found his brother first. He said, hey, listen, we found Christ and you need to come. And he came and brought him to Jesus. There are going to be some people that only your influence can bring them to Christ. And we fail to produce Simon Peter's because we do not introduce him into our very Christ. You, being Andrew, need to go and find that which is in your sphere of influence and say, hey, come, we have found Christ, come, let me show you Jesus Christ. How'd he get there? Someone went and found him. We could knock 1,000 doors, and I'm for knocking on doors for sure, and we will continue to do as such, but there we could knock 1,000 doors and not reach the one that you already know. You already know the next Simon Peter. You've just not brought him yet. Maybe it's someone that you're close to. Maybe it's someone you do business with. Maybe it's someone you're associated with. Maybe it's someone that you, maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it is actually a family member that you never went out and said, "Hey, won't you come? Let me introduce you to Christ." How did Simon Peter get there? Andrew brought him to Jesus. Ultimately, that's where it started. So go and find someone to say, as Andrew, "We have found Christ. Come with me. Come with me to Him." So who is it, good Christian, tonight that you have within your influence and you've never said, "Hey, come with me. Let me introduce you to Jesus Christ"? Who is it that you've failed and you've been a little lazy on and you've not stuck out your hand of fellowship? "Hey, won't you come with me? Let me introduce you to Christ." If we would all start doing Andrew's ministry example, we would look around and say, "Well, how'd they get here? Well, so-and-so worked with him and invited him to church. That's how they got here. Well, how'd they get here? I don't know where they're, where are they from? How'd they get here? Well, so-and-so eat at the restaurant all the time because we're Baptist and invited them to come to church with them, and they did. Yeah, but how'd that preacher get there? Well, so-and-so were friends of the family, and they invited them to church one day, and they got saved, and God changed their life. How did Peter get there? Because Andrew invited him. See, Peter's story did not start in Acts. That's where we see the culmination of everything that God did in Peter's life. That's where you see, man, the activity, God doing a great work. But that is not where it started. It started so long ago in John chapter number 1 with what? Andrew finding Christ and said, "Well, I've got to go tell my brother." And he went and got his brother and said, "Hey, you've got to come. We found Jesus." And he came. And then we see Peter's journey through all out the New Testament. And then we see Peter's rise to responsibility and a platform which God gave him. How did he get there? His brother invited him. So here's my challenge to you tonight. Who have you failed to invite? Wouldn't we all, if we're honest, say we all have someone we failed to invite? Can I be honest? Let me give you a little just about myself, and you can say, "Well, that preacher's a backslidden guy," and I'll just say, I agree with you. The Lord sold our house there in Jefferson City, and we had, for a time, we got to influence our one neighbor. Her name was Karen, and we had been inviting her, and I always love people that's not been around church because they don't use church language, right? Well, I went to my son's Baptist Mass thinking I'd like to go to that one. What was that like, a Baptist Mass? And she really liked one of my sons thought he was cute or whatnot. And she was a grandma, okay? So, you know, just keep that in mind. And I said, "Hey, Braden's going to be singing today. Won't you come?" "Okay, I'll come." And she started coming. She showed up, gave us a big hug. And she started coming, then her daughter had an issue, and I was able to help her, a little grandson, and say, "Well, those are great," and I think they'll continue to go to church even still now. They were there on Sunday, all three of them. But you know what I didn't do? We got to know our other neighbor on the other side. Her name is Geraldine. Geraldine? Geraldine? Geraldine. I was close. She didn't like us at first. That's okay. I don't like me sometimes too. But we started to break down those walls, but I never said, "Geraldine, won't you come to church with us?" You know, I'm thinking, "Oh man, what am I doing?" And how many people have crossed our paths that all they need is an invite. And Christ could do a work in their life. Heavenly Father, we sure do need you. I ask you to help us tonight. How'd Simon Peter get there? because Andrew invited him. God, you'd forgive me where I didn't do all that you've asked me to do. Lord, I ask you tonight that we would be yielded to you, that we would listen to your Spirit as you bring forth names and people that have crossed our paths regularly, that all they need is an invite to church. Lord, I ask you'd help us tonight. In your Son's name, amen.
To play. Perhaps the Lord spoke to your heart tonight. Heavenly Father, may we be someone who lifts up the fallen. May we be an encourager of those who are growing in Christ. And may we be someone who seeks the lost and directs them to the one who can do something about it. Direct them to Christ. That is our prayer this evening. If the Lord has spoken to your heart right there in your seat or here at the altar, now's the time to go ahead and speak to him about what he spoke to you about. Thank you, Brother Brian, for the message tonight. Have thine own way, Lord. Not my will, but thine be done. Play through one more verse. That last verse says, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy Spirit till all shall see Christ, only always, living in me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, when they see us, may they see you. And Lord, I pray that you would take the message that was given from your word tonight. May you impress us upon our hearts. And tomorrow, as we head out where you've placed us, each and every one of us, may we be that Peter who lifts up the fallen, an encourager of those who are growing in Christ, and someone who directs them to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you so much, and it's great to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Thank you, Brother Brian. I appreciate you being here with us and for that message. I needed that tonight, and I needed that reminder. Where God has placed us is where he's done that strategically, on purpose. Don't ever forget that. The Holy Spirit of God can use each and every one of us to be that influencer. Don't forget, if you have a child in the nursery, you'll stop before you get all the way down to the end of the hall there at the blue room. And then for those of you that have things to unload, and for those of you that are eagerly awaiting to spend your hard-earned money to support the youth of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Amen. You're welcome to avail yourself of the gym tonight. Brother Daniel will be over there. And give him a hard time and ask for a good price. Hallelujah. You are allowed to haggle tonight and work it down. Thank you so much. God bless you. Have a great evening. We'll see you on Sunday.